Hi, friends. Franklin Graham recently stated, according to court documents, Tyler Robinson's parents said that they asked their son why he shot and murdered Charlie Kirk, to which he replied, "There's too much evil and the guy spreads too much hate," end quote. Well, the Bible tells us, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil," Isaiah 5:20. Jesus himself calls Satan a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. We live in a world that is warped by sin, and so lots of people are deceived. Let me be clear, speaking what the Bible says is not hate. Charlie Kirk wasn't hating anyone when he answered question after question on campuses, and he spoke the truth from the Word of God. Life-altering, soul-saving truth that hasn't changed since the beginning of time. Who spewed hate? The shooter. All Charlie Kirk did was love his Lord Jesus Christ and love young people enough to give them the truth, even about hard subjects, gender, marriage, abortion, and much more. Today's guest is one of the pastors who discipled Charlie Kirk, and he's calling true believers in Christ to take a bold stand. Here to discuss recent events and his brand new book is Pastor Jack Hibbs. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, body of Christ, friends, family, thanks for watching, listening, and sharing. And my producer just told me that thanks to you, we've just broken into the top 40 Christian podcasts on Apple recently. After 400 episodes, we are so blessed to keep on going, and we couldn't have done this without your prayers and support, so thank you. Now, Pastor Jack Hibbs is out in Chino, California, and he's been all over the media talking about this. Why? Because he is one of those true men of God that's been speaking the truth for years, and he helped disciple Charlie Kirk. Pastor Jack, welcome back. Excited and congrats about your new book.
David, thank you for having me. And I'm sure we'll talk about the book because I think it needs some explaining for sure.
Yeah, let's bring it up. And the timing of this is incredible. You told me you wrote it like a year or 8 months ago, but it's called Called to Take a Bold Stand, Resilient and Effective Faith for a Godless Age. So before I get into some good news headlines here about Turning Point USA, Pastor Jack, godless age, the spiritual battle and that warfare has manifested now in the natural realm. We are seeing evil. How do Christians respond? Your book is timely. Give us a brief rundown of it.
Yeah, David, thank you so much. First of all, everybody, you need to know that it was written 8 months ago, not 8 minutes ago by AI. Which I love. I love what David is saying is, and that is, God has preempted this truth that's in the book, in light of the world that we're in right now. David, it seems amazing to me that in the last several months, there's been this incredible exponential explosion of violence, mm-hmm. and manifestation of hate in America, and so you've got this an assassin. I'm going to call him for what he is, an assassin, who justified his actions by saying, "Charlie Kirk spews hate, so I am going to take him out." Now, you think about that. The only way that that would be rational to any mindset outside the theater of war would be a mind that is completely gone off the rails in believing that that person, that this young man was the judge, the jury, all of it wrapped up in one thing, that he is going to execute some form of justice in his mind that it warrants taking out a voice that was not a political voice, if you think about it. Charlie in his early career as a young man started very political. But over the last 4 years, Charlie became increasingly more and more biblically rooted and grounded, and he spoke more of the Christian faith and what the Bible has to say, really, than politics. He wound up applying his faith to politics. Because why? He grew up spiritually to the man that he was on the day that he was shot. That said, Charlie, I believe, was certainly the first evangelical martyr on American soil, perhaps in our nation's history.
Hmm. And it was sobering for a lot of us. We've been through all the emotions. Friends, we are recording this podcast just about a week after the assassination. And I want to just bring up your website before we forget. Boldstand.org, jackhibbs.com. Of course, that's the one you're seeing now. But the book has its own site, boldstand.org. So, Pastor Jack, I want to talk to you about the discipleship of Charlie Kirk in a minute. And Frank Turek was going to be on with me today, and we had to reschedule him. And he's got a story. He put that out on Cross Examined, and he's got an amazing there standing just close to Charlie when he was assassinated. But good news already. Now, this has probably surpassed $5 million, but they've already raised $5 million for the family. Charlie Kirk's family following the assassination. Now, this was like last week. So Turning Point USA, and here's even better news. And we're seeing God move, friends. We didn't have this insight, but God knew. Well over 55,000 requests for new chapters in high school and college from students across the country. Over 55,000 Turning Point USA chapter requests. And then I've got a little bit more info here. That, let's see, chapter requests. Also, they're going to increase Turning Point USA's presence on campus by over 20-fold, and that's going to, I believe, even increase even more. They surged 455% following Erica Kirk's first public remarks. Jack, your thought on this move and God doing something that we couldn't do. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Go ahead.
Yeah, David, perfectly said. Quickly, immediately after Charlie's assassination, those of us who knew Charlie realized quickly that what was unfolding and what continues to unfold is beyond Charlie. It's beyond him. This is not the success of TPUSA. This is not the success of Charlie Kirk. This is now unexplainable. And I love what Dr. Warren Wiersbe says. He says, if you can describe and define what's going on in your church or in your life as a believer, then God's not the one doing it. In other words, if God is moving, you're not going to be able to figure this out. And right now, all around the world, David, you can't explain this. When people go on their Telegram or their Instagram or TikTok account and they say, hey, I heard about this guy in America. His name's Charlie. He got shot. And I looked at what he said. I heard about it. I went and bought a Bible and I'm going to go to church next Sunday. Folks, that makes no sense. It makes no sense. Why? God is doing something that is bigger. Look, we knew Charlie well. I knew he was famous, but I had no idea that he had a global impact. And the reality is this, Charlie didn't have a global impact. It's the message that Charlie proclaimed that has a global impact. Charlie doesn't have the power. He didn't have the power. It's the power of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has taken, as it were, a little loaves of bread and a little bit of fish and has just absolutely turbocharged this effect. And we could very well see, David, what may very well be, I hope and pray, is a revival among God's people.
Yes.
And an awakening among the lost. That's very important. We remember that. A revival is the church being revived back to life. And an awakening is when the lost get saved. And so let's pray that that happens.
Amen. We're seeing that. We've been praying, some of us, for revival for a long time, being skeptical. I'm being honest. And right then I'm seeing what's happening after the movie about Chuck Smith and, with the baptizing in the ocean out there. And then this happened with Charlie Kirk. And you're going, well, God, I didn't think it was going to happen this way. So let's just watch and pray, friends, and be active. And this is interesting, Jack. I know you didn't plan this, but I'm going to read a description from your book. And in light of Charlie Kirk, friends, listen to this. It says, this book, Called to Take a Bold Stand, is for anyone who knows in their spirit that now is the time to stand, not with arrogance or anger, but with confidence, clarity, and the courage that only comes from knowing who you are in Christ and what he has called you to do. Yeah. Jack Hibbs, excellent timing. It's God's timing, right? Tell us more.
Yeah, it's 100% God's timing. And this is kind of fun, David, because I didn't plan on this, but the previous book was titled Living in the Days of Deception.
Yeah.
And that God blessed that book and it did very well. And so people, so you're telling me that we're living in the days of deception. Now what do I do? Well, you stand now having a bold faith. That's what you do. And so it's kind of like a partner type book or a series where deception is everywhere. So how do I make sure that I'm not deceived? Well, you got to know the Word of God. That's your insurance against deception. And now that I know the Word of God, David, you know this well, that once you take in the Word of God, it percolates within you. It's not passive. It's not neutral. It's active. Yes. And the Bible begins to percolate within you until it begins to come out of you. And what happens when it comes out of you? You begin to engage the culture. And that's where the truth that you know is empowered by the Holy Spirit who gave it to use you as an instrument, exactly like he did with Charlie. Charlie was wonderfully yielded to whatever God wanted him to do. And he enjoyed every minute of it.
Amen. Let's honor him. Now, you know, some might say, in fact, I've heard this, Jack, someone says, well, you're idolizing this man. I said, okay, no. He was an example of Christ, not perfect like you and I, but he was an example. And he did think, I honestly did not have that kind of patience or respect, like the Bible encourages to always be ready to give an answer, but do it with kindness and respect to those who ask you a reason to give a reason for the hope that's in you. I'm learning, and I think a lot of young people, a lot of young Christians can learn from Charlie's example. Pastor Jack, I want to talk about the rhetoric that we see in our media, and maybe some leftist leaders, maybe the education system. We're very disappointed in the media, very disappointed, and this is the culture now. I don't see much accountability. I don't know that it's going to change. They say, oh, yeah, there's this rhetoric on both sides. And I'm tired of that. But I want to ask you about the Southern Poverty Law Center. I know Turning Point USA was on there. They have a hate map. Family Research Center had a gunman going in there almost 10 years ago to shoot them. I mean, this is irresponsible. Who's going to hold people accountable? There's the map right there. Do you happen to be on their list as well, Pastor Jack?
Yeah, I'm honored to be on their list.
Amen.
I am a danger, apparently, to the culture and to the nation. Jeez. So look, if you can get your name on the Southern Poverty Law Center hate list that they've created, you know, in their mind, they're doing good by saying, hey, these people don't agree with us, and so you must hate them. I mean, these guys should be held liable for what they put out. But, you know, you rightly, thank you, David, by the way, most people don't even remember that after the influence of the Southern Poverty Law Center on the Family Research Council, that individual went and disguised himself as one who's bringing in a food delivery from Chick-fil-A. And it was proved in the court of law that he was going to assassinate Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and the entire staff. And I happen to know the man that he did shoot. Thank God he recovered. Mm. But it's remarkable where the extreme leftist, they get to do violence, but they've justified it in their mind as some sort of instrument of justice in their mind. Where Charlie Kirk, for example, all around the world, throughout the United States, certainly, how many cars, David, how many police cars caught fire after Charlie was assassinated? How many cities burned down? How many people were bricks were thrown at their faces? And you know what I'm saying. There was nothing but prayer vigils and worship services.
It's a worldview. Different worldview. All right. Different reaction, different worldview.
Yeah.
This is a question I had planned to ask you, and it's in light of the assassination. Now, very interesting. So, Pastor Jack, regarding your book, from your vantage point, what are the most pressing cultural or moral threats facing society, and how does biblical boldness counteract them?
Well, the number one thing is what Charlie always said, and it's, of course, it's a biblical argument, and that is we need to talk to people. We need to get people to consider their position, to find out, is their position viable? Is it true? What comes out of their worldview? So if you have a worldview that ascribes to the culture of death, then there's no hope. And instead of beating somebody up like that, we don't do that. But what we do is we need to ask them, can you follow this through in your logic and your thinking? How does this plane land? That said, we also need to realize this. David, for decades, we have set kids down in the public school system, and we've told them that they're evolutionary byproducts of gigantic series of accidents.
Yes.
And they have evolved, and they're nothing more than an animal. They're just the exact same thing as a whale, or as a monkey, or as a dog. And you just happen to be at the top of the apex of that food chain. And then when they go out and kill people, we get all upset and wonder why they're not acting like angels. Because we've told them for decades, you are an evolutionary byproduct and you are accountable to nobody. And so when they go act like it, we have the audacity to say, how could this happen? How could this possibly be happening in America? Are you kidding me? For 60 years, we've been telling kids that you're nothing more than an animal. So go eat, drink, and be merry, for who knows, tomorrow you could die. So live it up, because it's the survival of the fittest. Listen, knowingly or unknowingly, it's a worldview. Yep. And it sinks in, and it sets a foundation for a series of actions, exactly like we saw in the life of this assassin just recently.
It is a world. To them, this life is all there is. I mean, how hopeless is that? How random. They think this life is random. But I want to quote Charlie Kirk, who said, when people stop talking, you get violence. That's when civil war happens, because you start to think that the other side is so evil and they lose their humanity. And that's what they've been trying to do to the right for a long time. Dehumanize, target the object, the Christian or conservative, Trump, they've been doing that. If you hear fascist and Christian nationalist and tyrant or tyranny and all these other things, authoritarian, for year after year through the media, they're beating that drum. Well, there are some who are going to take those words and get angry, and then they're going to have to do something about it, thinking they're doing a greater good for the country, right?
Oh, so right, David. And, you know, listen, words, concepts, ideas spoken, they have consequences. Good, bad, or ugly, they have consequences. And so when people are saying things like, and look at the fallout of, you know, since Charlie's assassination, there are students on university campuses, I'm going to call them children on university campuses, that are actually reenacting Charlie Kirk's assassination, and they're laughing about it. So how did we get there? Because in some ways, to the point I made earlier about the fact that we're just animals, is that we have learned to view our world around us, kind of like you and I, God forbid, David, you and I going on vacation, and we view our 2-week vacation through the camera of the video, right? And we're going to capture our vacation. And then you realize, flying back home, where did we go? What did we do? I didn't see that happen, because you viewed the whole thing through a lens. And you didn't get the peace. You didn't get the rest. We have people today that are viewing life through the synthetic effect. They're looking at people on a public transportation in Charlotte, and a woman is stabbed to death in the neck, and they have their phones, and they're viewing reality through a synthetic screen, which communicates to their mind, this is no different than the video game I just played. And there is this profound disconnect that if we don't change this, you cannot interpret it any other way than the judgment of God upon a Christ-rejecting nation. This is indicative of that. And we need to take some responsibilities, and we got to turn around. But, you know, the moment I offer up the cure, David, I'm going to be shouted down and my life's going to be threatened. But the cure is Jesus Christ, his gospel.
Amen.
He'll love you. He loves you. He'll forgive you. Come to him. Bring your life to him and tell him, I've sinned. I've had lustful thoughts or angry thoughts or murderous thoughts, and I don't want to live like this, and I want you to change my heart, God, and he'll do it. But you see, the moment I say that, David, to a reprobate culture, to a culture that is now given over to its, what I would say, doctrines of demons and evil spirit influence, that I'm the one that's bad. They're the one that's good, and so I must be silenced because I'm speaking truth. Yeah. And yet they have no stomach for truth. God has given them over to a reprobate mind, Romans chapter 1 says.
Yeah. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth, and Jesus is the truth.
That's good.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So how do we respond? Nancy Pelosi said she cannot, we, meaning those on the left that are saying that we're a threat to democracy, Charlie Kirk, MAGA, Trump, you, me, we cannot take responsibility for saying something that leads to something dangerous. This, so here's my point about the rhetoric, Pastor Jack. How do we respond to that, knowing that the media will probably continue to use this language? I'm guessing maybe they took a break for a week, but they'll be right back at it on the Communist News Network and MSNBC and all the others and New York Times. Just despicable. So they're not going to take responsibility, apparently. What's the solution to that? What can we do?
Well, first of all, we need to conduct ourselves with some discernment and wisdom. I heard that same statement by Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, we could go on all day about the corruption of her life, both public and private.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi has spouted off, as so many others, about Joe Biden included, somebody needs to put a target on Trump. Yep. Joe Biden said that. Why isn't he in trouble for this? Because listen, it's what they set up as their standards is their worldview, and they get to say it. But what we say about truth, that is absolutely to be resisted. We've got a massive collision of two worldviews. One is about life. One is about death. One is about lies. The other one is about truth. And I would say to all of your viewers, you've got to make a choice. You've got to pick a side.
Yes.
You cannot be neutral. You cannot be neutral. You cannot act like this is not happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, Nancy Pelosi will never, listen carefully, judge me on this. Nancy Pelosi will only say the word democracy. She will never say the word republic. We do not live in a democracy. Yeah. We live in a republic. But the Democrat Party and the woke leftist, they keep hammering down on the word democracy because it serves the totalitarian plan where a few will rule the many.
Yeah.
But a republic is simply put, we the people. And Ben Franklin, when asked, what kind of government have you given us? Ben Franklin said, a republic, if you can keep it. David, we have failed thus far to keep it.
So let me follow up on something you said then to believers that we have a choice to make. And I was talking, I think, to Chris, one of your assistants there, maybe before the podcast, about the emotion since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Grief, anger, sadness, heaviness, resolve. Then I felt like my faith is united and I want to be about God's business, a sense of urgency. And that's kind of where it's at right now. So we're not going to back down. But there are some who are saying, well, taking a bold stand, Pastor Jack, is going to possibly bring more persecution. What do you say to someone who would mention that?
Yes, it is. It is going to. Because here's the bottom line. Didn't Jesus say that was going to happen? Jesus said, don't be alarmed. Yeah, don't be alarmed if the world hates you because they hated me first. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. So here's the thing. Charlie Kirk, please, everyone. Charlie Kirk, like many who have gone before him, think of those, by the way, of Normandy, Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, World War II, World War I. Think about Afghanistan, Iraq, all those. Think about all this. Think about our police officers that go into the streets every day. They're willing to lay down their lives because they believe something is bigger than them. Something's more important than them. Charlie got up that day and he flew to Orem, Utah, Provo. He was so excited and so delighted. In fact, when he got out of the airplane, he said, this is going to be a great day. Charlie goes and does exactly what Charlie loved to do. He was serving God, and in doing so, speaking truth, it cost him his life. But wait a minute, did it actually cost him his life?
Good point.
Charlie Kirk is more alive today than he ever has been.
Praise God.
The other thing is this, Charlie Kirk, he couldn't have picked a better way to go from this world into the next, doing exactly what he was called to do. Listen, we should all be so blessed. Every single one of us, the Bible tells us, has been given a day or years by which we live, given to us by God. And only God knows the day that you and I will die. You're not going to die an hour too soon. You're not going to die an hour too late. That was the day that God had prescribed for Charlie. I'm just so grateful to God that Charlie went into glory that way. He could have died in secrecy. He could have died connected to a cancer unit. He could have died mugged, right, in Phoenix in the middle of the night. No. On the entire world, And the young people of the world saw Charlie Kirk die for what he believed, what he preached, what he did, what he said. All the way to the end, he died for that. And young people are looking at that and they're saying, wait a minute. There's purpose in this. You mean I can have something in my life that's worth my life? That's what I want to do. I want to live for a cause greater than me. And that's what Jesus offers. A life that is not only worth living now, but Jesus said, if you die believing in me, yet shall you live. Think about that. Charlie Kirk never ceased. He never stopped living. He just went from this world of consciousness into the consciousness of Jesus Christ. It's called heaven. And God wants you to be there with him. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He goes to the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead to guarantee you and I a seat in heaven if you'll accept his free offer of eternal life. By giving him your sins, he will give you his righteousness. Best deal going, David, anyone will ever find.
Yeah, friends, read 1 Corinthians 15 again when you get a chance. And just that's a good point, Pastor Jack. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I hope, well, he's got a plan for each one of us now. What are we going to do? So in the last minute and a half here, what does the average Christian, what does this look like for the average Christian that doesn't want to be apathetic, doesn't want to be neutral, that really wants to take a bold stand? Is it getting equipped? Is it finding a new or better church? I know you could spend 10 minutes on that, but go ahead.
Yes, maybe all of the above. I think you should find a Bible teaching church that's going to equip you in the Word of God among others that are united around the truth. And then you go out and you live it. And a good church and a real faith is going to be extremely active. Love is a verb. Faith is a verb. Listen, think about it. Church looks like it's a noun, but I like to look at the church as a verb. It does. It's not a spectator. And Christianity, true biblical Christianity, is not a spectator faith. It's all about others. It's all about giving God the glory. It's all about us saying, Lord, I'm not sure exactly what to do and how to do it, but here I am. Send me. And go to a Bible teaching church, one that goes through the scriptures and challenges you, and get around a great group of friends. Listen, get around a group of friends that are more spiritual than you are, so that they will help you grow up. And I'm telling you, life, you've not lived life yet until you live it for Jesus Christ. There's no other way to live.
Amen. Pastor Jack, thanks so much for your time. Friends, boldstand.org, jackhibbs.com. Make sure to check out Real Life TV. Went by very, very fast, as I knew it would with you, brother. Thank you for all you're doing. I know you'll keep speaking the truth. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, David. God bless you, brother.
All right, friends, thank you so much for your prayers and sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.